CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The new governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, in a State of the State message, making it very clear that housing is the challenge for her government, for the governments of the large cities and small cities in New York State. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing about the governor's ambition, governor's program. The quote from the State of the State: the governor recommends a five-year, $25 billion plan to create and preserve 100,000 affordable homes, the single largest housing investment in our state's history. In addition, the governor looks to create 800,000 new units over the next 10 years. Professor, a very good evening to you. The ambition of the governor is met with the reality of how you build new housing, and it starts with the word permit. What is permitting, and what does that mean for the governor's plan? Good evening to you.
Sure. I mean, look, the traditional common law rule about when it was that you can build was that if you owned a plot of land, you just simply put a building on it. And if somebody thought that it was a nuisance, narrowly defined as a building that sort of emits fumes and noises and stuff like that, they could shut it down until you cured it. That system essentially let free entry take place, made housing relatively cheap and highly abundant, and made it very difficult for any developers to get some kind of monopoly rents because they had no power to exclude the fellow who lived next door to them from doing what he did, that is building something. A permit economy goes in exactly the opposite way. It means that before you can build a building, you have to get permission from somebody to be able to do it. That party turns out to be a government agency. That government agency, in turn, is dominated by local citizens, many of whom have interests adverse to the particular person seeking the permit in question. So that politics becomes very large. Nobody objects to permitting of a nuclear power plant to make sure that it doesn't explode. But most single-family houses in the luxury neighborhoods don't explode because they're not nuclear plants. But you can still block them. And then if you can block them, the question is, you can also allow them, but only on condition. And some of the conditions that you see are extremely onerous. The most obvious one is the large acre requirement, where in some towns you see people being required to build on 5 acres for a single home, which means that you're going to effectively curtail the house. In other cases, what you do is you require them to have certain kinds of setback, certain kinds of equipment inside the building and so forth. That makes the cost of this very high. In some places, it's well understood, even if not explicit in the law, that if you wish to build here, you better have union labor do this, which is going to add, say, 15% to the cost of the business. So that what happens is the contraction of the supply of housing becomes very powerful. The prices then start to go up, and the insiders have no incentive whatsoever to lower the barriers. Now, they are in one of two positions. If they want to sell, they'd love to sell at the current high prices. And then when the new fellow comes in, he's going to be determined to keep the monopoly protections in place, because otherwise he loses a large part of their investment. Or they cash it out by living in a nice, slightly more empty town than they would otherwise do. And what happens is there's no question that the net benefit for people who are protected inside by the permitting system is large, but there's no question either that the cost of the many, many people who are excluded from these towns is probably far greater. So what you do is you get township after township doing this, and the net effect of this is that you're probably going to reduce the value of your housing stock by 10, 15, or even units. It's a question of what's going to happen to them afterwards. So you build a fine place of rental housing, and then all of a sudden, 10 years later, they say, well, we believe in rent stabilization because there's a shortage of housing units, and therefore we cannot allow the rents to go up. All of these things are in play throughout all of New York State. And the net effect of this is every short-term victory for each local government is a long-term disaster for the state. Now, the governor, to her credit, represents the state, and she's trying to figure out how she should undo this mess. And she doesn't like the permitting system. But on the other hand, she's not really committed to free markets in any event. I would describe her as a conservative progressive, left of center, but not out there with the really hardline left-wingers in her party. And so at this particular point, she's the right wing within the state, and she's going to run into a very, very tough situation in getting anything done, whether it's judicial nominees or her new housing program.
Now, if I understand correctly, the permitting process very rarely is because of what you said, nuisance or noise or risk. in either the existing facility or the one proposed to be built, the dangers of construction. It chiefly has to do with property value. That's common sense, Richard. That's always been common sense. New York is not unique there.
No. But what happens is it takes it to a fine art. There's some states which from time to time have struck back at this and say, look, you cannot impose upon somebody else in your neighborhood a set of restrictions which you did not impose upon the original builders in a particular area. And so you get a kind of non-discrimination provision which says you can't do unto this guy what you were not prepared to do unto yourself. So there is some variation. And then there are other places which say, welcome, stranger. So you wanted to get a permit in a place like Austin, Texas, that maybe changed a little now. You know, it took you all of 2 or 3 weeks to do it. You want to build a major apartment complex in New York City? Count on 5 years. One wag I know told me the following story about the building situation. He said, well, this is what the contributions are when you have these public-private partnerships. What the private developer does is commit the capital, commits the know-how, commits the labor, develops the plan. And well, what does the public government does? Well, it supplies the red tape to slow everything down. And that's exactly the way these things work. It's a very complicated business. If you started with, say, 10 projects on the board, on the building board in a place like New York City, in a fashionable area like the West Side, it's like a game of chutes and ladders. You anxiously put your way up on top of the building, and then all of a sudden, boom, you fall down when you fail to get something right. And everybody understands this about the process, so it could take 5 or 6 years. You finally get 9 of them dead, and you have to show something. So the last project gets everybody in town, the mayor, the governor, the councilman, and so forth, fairly behind it because they can't come up empty-handed for the process. But if you kill off 9 projects and celebrate the 10th one, you're 90% sure. And what the governor has discovered is when people say why they're leaving, it's because they want to move to communities where housing regimes are not as crazy as they are in New York, and they pick up in droves. And they're not going to come back if you simply say to them, hey, we just have wonderful schools and a low crime rate, both of which turn out to be false. And so New York State has lost the largest percentage of people over the last 2 years. And as it continues on, it's clear it's just not a COVID phenomenon. It's an ungovernable city kind of phenomenon that's taking place. She is the governor is trying to see this, but virtually all of her progressive friends in the government, they say, oh, the only way you could build private housing is through private developers. Well, that's clearly immoral. That's a subsidy for capitalism and so forth. So what we have to do is to hamstring them or try to get public agencies to start to do this development. So you're in a state in New York, which is a genuine suicide complex, and a governor who's trying to fight that doesn't seem to be having all that amount of success, judging from the way things are laid out. But I wish her well. I wish she were more free market oriented than she is. But at this particular point, she's not the real sticking point. It's on the other side. But she does have things that are crazy. You mentioned the, what was it, the $25 million project or billion-dollar project. This is madness. Having a governor ask every city to place various kinds of units in their communities, going to be subject to massive resistance, endless litigation, and so forth. The last way you can develop anything is to ask a local government to do the development when their instincts are always to block it.
Professor, the governor has opportunities or tools to achieve her ambition of 800,000. Subsidies and coercion. So when we come back, what does that look like in the years ahead? Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing at Defining Ideas about the presentation by the governor of New York. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.